Kof Zayin Nissen, Sunday the 1st of May, Dain Chanuch Friedman, more Shilas on Choshe Mishpot.
Shalom Aleichem. I was asked a Shilas this morning, a London Shilas, but it's not only a London Shilas, but they asked me a Shilas, you see, in the Shtar of Mechiras Chometz. So, we're makpid in the Shtar of Mechiras Chometz, right where the Chometz is, what it is. And the reason for that is because, according to the Shittas HaRambam, you sell a sale on some which is not Mesuyim, what it is not a Mechira, never Shein Mesuyim. Most poskim hold that takes effect the Mechira even if it's not Mesuyim. But in order to cover yourselves, so you write in the Shtar also, that call chametz whatever I have, even if I forgot something, come welcome whatever I have, what it is also included. Now, where does it come? And that's the chumrah, in case it helps, that you take care of that too, according to most poskim. But now, where does it come in the question? The question is now, what happens if you found something you didn't write in? Like you found a half a package of biscuits. You have to find it in the middle of Pesach. So normally the din is, if you find they have a basket record of biscuits, the din is, you burn the chametz. If it's a yontif, you can't burn it, you cover it up with a clay. If it's a chalamoyel, then the din is you burn it. But over here, if you sold it, you can't burn somebody else's. Well, it belongs to the goy. Now, the question is, do you burn it or not? On one side, the halacha is, that according to most poskim, the mechira helps. So the mechira helps, it belongs to him. You can't burn it yet. Burn it away. According to some poskim, the mechira didn't help. Now, you want to be machmir, but you can't be machmir if it's a suffix of gezel that belongs.
Why can't they burn it and pay him for it after Yom
Tov? You do have the permission. Can I go to your home and burn something and pay you? I have no permission.
If I would eat it, it wouldn't pay you. No, she can't
do that. So he's not selling. He doesn't give you permission to sell. If it's a real sale, belongs to you, it depends on him what he wants to do. Even though for sure you could say it's Yesh Lomidas, that he wouldn't care, but that's already a question. If some of you know a person wouldn't care, that's called Yesh Lomidas. If that helps. Pashtus is not Pashtus that you're allowed to do something like that. LMI, it's possible, what they do, for instance, in Eretz Yisrael, people meiser, and privately, they don't rely on the public meiser, so, but they're afraid that if a person will meiser, they may say something in the wrong nusach, so make himself in more trouble from his own meiser than he was without it. So they say, at the beginning of the nusach, Kol Hashini is Paresh HaPidin Terah HaPitakonis Chazal. Whatever I say should be disparaged according to the best possible ways. So you could say that perhaps it's understood that when a person says the chometz, it means that anything, the whole purpose is to save from an Isser chometz. So therefore, it's understood as in the contract is written that whatever is the best possible thing under the circumstances, so that's what the contract means. But if so, what would that mean? That would mean that if there's a suffering, whether it's included or not included, you have the right to take it. So, but if that would be the shot, then you're ruining the whole mechira. Because anything that you would have the right to take out of suffering means you didn't really sell it. Because anything which is biyodai, for you to get back, was not dependent on the best of the guy to be masking. Something that is dependent on him if he wants to, if he doesn't sell, if he doesn't want to sell back to you, you have nothing. So that's a real mechira. But the second is, it depends on you, whether you want to take it back or not, so your whole mechira becomes worthless. So it's impossible that to have a tonight like that to say, whatever I need and whatever I'll do, that will be dependent on me. So that's impossible. Have that. So we get back to our original Shaila, that from one side you sell him things you don't know where it is, L'chumra. On the other hand, if you found it, then how could you possibly burn it because it's a gezel. So Ayochanami, it's probably more mustaber that since you're ready, Mavato. And once you're Mevatel, it's only a question of a Drabbanan. So therefore, the halacha would be tak, if you find something, you shouldn't burn it. If it was included in any chametz where you have, even not specifying what, and you found something which wasn't specified, it'd be better tak, not to burn it, but to put it away with the rest of the chametz, because it's more probable that it belongs to the guy. So you see, you put it away. So now, a burning will not apply today if a person includes in the sale kol chametz that he has and he finds something. That's the chorus.
What's the after basil, was it?
It was sold, if you rely on the mechira, like any other.
It's so doubtful. You went
but if you included kol chametz yeshli, and according to most poskim, that helps, even if he didn't know it. So then you're according to the ones who rely on the mechira for chametz gomer. I mean, some people don't rely, but according to most people that rely on that, so that would be, if the person does rely on it, that's what you would do. Okay.
What's better? Have it in the star that it covers all the chametz, even if it's something that you don't know you've got, or to not have it, find something and burn it?
Better is to cover yourself, because it's most probably you're not going to find something after the house is properly checked. And there is bito at any rate, so the reisiv is not there at any rate. So it's more, it's better to cover yourself. Now, I'll talk about some cases in Choshe Mishpat. This is also a Choshe Mishpat question, this first one, but in Eretz Yisrael, there was a wedding. Well, it didn't end in a happy ending, because they had a cameraman, the man, that's fine. But what happened was that we have some cameraman, maybe we'll be able to get some insight. What happened there was, though, that the wedding hall fell in the middle. It was Versailles. So they fell in the hall. So no, the question was, the cameraman now had a scoop. He was supposed to take pictures. Now, I take him all pictures, cross and collar, fine. But now the hall fell in. All of a sudden, he's got a scope. He's got a building to show that the fellow fell in.
He sells the papers.
Sells to the papers. For $250,000, he sells it. That he's got a.
Here's
the pictures of firsthand what happened at the building falling in. So the comments and the people, the one, he said, we own the pictures. Not you. How can you do it? So, having a cameraman, what do you think? Tell us who owns the pictures.
Who owns the pictures?
That's right. The guy who owns it.
Generally, is it that the photograph owns it?
I don't know. Tell us what you think about the subject.
Come on.
A little louder. I can't hear you.
The British law of copyright is, if you hire me to take your copies in a private venue, then the copyright resides with you.
Oh, so that belongs to the private person. So if so, and they have a good claim. But what you think about here is that. But what do you think? You agree, though? I mean, that's the law. Now, I also don't be a law. But here we have a special circumstances. What do you think?
Perhaps when you saw the floor fall in, you could say, look, I'm resigning myself from
the. Can you resign in the middle? You're behind me for that. I don't want to accept your resignation. you agree, or you think differently? What do you think?
You're asking those in kind of permission.
What?
You know,
kind of they don't want it. They, I don't know if they're living anymore, but
you could say that once the wedding hall has collapsed, that's the end of the wedding.
Period. Oh, that's the answer. Oh. Now it's a funeral. It's no longer a wedding. The item for a wedding is a new circumstance. The wedding finished. Now it's a funeral for everyone to hire. It's a new case. So there, and so we pass it, and Mishpatim by Yadum, this went to a civil court, they pass it that way too. That the cameraman has the right to take the pictures. That's a good svar. Now, I'm going to bring up to a different case. Very good?
More happy one.
Well, Hashem. Now, there was another case. There was an agent for Continental Airlines, and this person was selling three tickets. For anywhere in the world, you can get three tickets, $800 to go anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world.
Where is it?
And that's part of the story. There's a Maishaya. And then it was found to be a hoax. But the person had sold several thousand tickets. So there were two questions. What's the responsibility of the company that this person who was an agent of theirs was selling these false tickets? What the person actually did was they had a few hundred tickets they bought there, really, so that they could dray, but they had some, and they made a few thousand like those. And then there was another question. There was one travel agent, an honest guy, but he made up, it sounded too good to his customer, his deal. So his customer made him sign that I have a personal responsibility that if on the day of the sale, it must have been something that the company would honor. In other words, later on they could change the rules, but on that day, it was something that would be honored. So the question is, most people made a collective claim against Continental, but this person, since he had a specific guarantee from his travel agent, so he went to him. Now, what do you say you think is the responsibility of the company? And then we'll talk about this private person also. What is the responsibility of the company?
The guy who sold the tickets was a contractor or an employee of Continental? The original guy was...
He was an employee of Continental.
He wasn't
a hoax. He was an executive. He was part of the company.
He must have responsibility.
So he definitely has responsibility. But the question of the company has responsibility.
Yeah, he's representing the company.
But the money's long gone. After the person does it, they bury the money. But the question for the company, what is our certainty that the company has responsibility? After all, why don't you say you're just a shliach? And the takuni shadat dichol avasi. I sent you. Why?
She has a salary.
So what? Oh, but you're right. But let me explain to you the mocker of.
It's within the scope of authority.
You're right. But let me explain to you in halacha the mocker of this din. The marker of the din is that in Shach, in Simon Tzadik Vav, that's Takonis Ashuk. It tells us, for instance, that they're discussing if a woman normally buys for the home. I'm not talking about something which is beyond normal buying, you know. I'm not talking about she spent the £5 million, but normal thing which would normally she has the right to buy. Now she went to a store, and the husband had told her before, "I'm not paying for anything that you pay, I borrow." Now the store, the man comes to the husband and he says, "Well, I made up with my wife that she's not supposed to borrow, so I have no responsibility." So the Shach says in Simon Tzadik Vav, and so the Tumim Paskin, there's a Takonis Ashuk, that anybody who is Noisim and Noisim, the Torah Rabbi is, that since people generally assume that they're representing the other party, so therefore, you have to pay. According to the letter of the law, actually, and if he's not representing me, what would be, for instance, if a person belonged to my company, was a representative, I fired him. So the derech is, I don't necessarily put in the newspapers the next day, I have to put in the, I fired him, and then he goes and makes claims. What do you say there also, that the company is obligated? I mean, because they don't know, I mean, how, what?
That's different. You never said that before. He's not been fired.
I'm just asking, but you see, that's not so simple. What's their claim? Their claim is that he's not actually representing him, representing us. But here, he's a representative, but he's not representing us. But the law is, in that circumstances, are compelling, there's a takonis hashuk, that since the buyer on the market could not have known, so you're responsible. Even though after necessary cause Hashem could be automatically becomes not only a takane, could become a part of a contract, because whatever is a minigam dina becomes a part of the contract. So anything you buy or sell is based upon, could be a minigam dina, could be become a contract also. But it starts off with a takane Hashem. If so, then the company has responsibility. Now, the private agent.
He should be responsible.
The private agent that he signed that I have responsibility. if it's not a ticket that cannot be used on the day of the purchase. So if you say the company is obligated. Was obligated to make it good, so that he's partner, because the company actually had to make it good on that day. So on that day was actually a ticket that he could have flied with. So
it wasn't. It was supposed
to
be 70.
But you said the company had responsibility to for a person who bought it to give him a ticket on that day.
The company should know to check up. He's
the company. But I'm asking something else. You're saying that the company has to bear the responsibility, meaning that on that day, if someone went on the plane, the Continental would have to give them a seat.
In this country, travel agents are
no, but I'm asking you, that's something else. You're asking if he has a guarantee beyond his contract. Here he said the contract itself was that I have responsibility for that day that it was a ticket that you could fly with. If you say that the company had responsibility to...
He should have checked up. He should have...
Well, that's something else. You're asking a different question.
But the reality is...
And how should he check up more than... He gets a call for vice president of the company. He says it's good. Well, who was he supposed to ask more than that? He's supposed to go to the president? To get somebody who was a high executive in a company. He presumes it's good, like the other thousands of people.
It's his fight to fight Continental, but he gave a private...
His guarantee was one thing. On the day of the purchase, you would be able to fly. And you were, if you said that the company was mechuyev to honor the ticket on that day, so then his guarantee was good. That was true.
If he checked up on the company and he got a yes, then it was not responsible.
The reality is, he gets an indemnity from Continental anyway.
What?
He gets an indemnity from Continental.
Right? Without fighting him too, the question will be a couple of cases finishes. Could be he'll get his money back. That's a different question. But we're talking principle. But there's another point here also, that's for sure. When you get an agent, not only do you, besides the question of his responsibility, but he gets a certain profit, like they get 10% or 5%, whatever it is. His car for the ticket, that for sure he doesn't get. Why? Because that's for sure. The question, if you needed personal responsibility, generally there is no personal responsibility. Responsibilities of the company selling it. But as far as getting your schar for what you've done, that's dependent if it's a mekach peiros or not. And that's for sure. Nobody would buy a ticket that he has to fight in court for several years, whether they're going to honor it or not. And it was only good on that day and not later. So that's for sure that his profit, he definitely loses. All right, so that was another case discussed. Now, let me tell you another case. There's a halacha that if you make a kinyan, talk to Dibur, you could change your mind. Meaning, I've sold you something. Talk to Dibur is only the time you can say three words. Shalom Alecha Rebbe, three words. But you could change your mind and talk to Dibur. Either this is a takaras chachomim, and the person should do it with full das, or it's a deraisa, and that person is a gamer das, when he thinks about it a little bit longer. But al kopanim, this is the halacha. By all kinyanim, except for Kinyan Chalipin. By Kinyan Chalipin, the din is that you have a longer period of time, a sukkim b'sinyan. But he's giving you a sooner to make a Kinyan. The other halacha is, as long as they're still discussing the matter, cause mind a sukkim b'sinyan, you could change your mind. This is Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuf Tzadikei, Hashem Ishmael Kuf Tzadikei, Sib Zayin. Now, The reason for this, why Kinei Chalitin, you have a longer period of time, is a machlekes between the Shach and the Sma. The Shach says, because when I actually give you something, like a Mashicha, so giving you an object, so I thought about it before. It's usually something you think about. Therefore, Chazal gave you a shorter period to change your mind afterwards, because you've done it with a greater yeshiva das. Mashayki Chalipin, which I didn't actually give you anything in the object itself, I'm just making an act, a formal act, to be marked to something, but the object itself we have not given, then, in that circumstance, Chazal give you a longer period of time to change your mind. That's the Shach's viewpoint, because you have not actually handed something over. In the Sma says something else. He says a different reason. The Sma says that the reason is because in Chalipin, the person who was buying from you or getting from you still owes you the money. So the matter was not finished yet. It's an uncompleted deal because you would get made the chalipin, but yet, since he has to pay you the rest of the value, so the deal is not finished yet. Even though the technical kingdom was here, but since the deal is not finished yet, because the deal is not finished yet, that's why, in that situation, you have a greater period of time. Now, we have two opinions why. One, because you didn't hand over a goof of dovers, you may be doing it at more of a spur of a moment, or whether it's finished or not finished. What's an after minute? Why do you say, Rabbi Sai, I ask you a question. What's the din in a situation where the other person was Michael before? I'm Michael, you know, money, you owe me £1,000, says Michael. Then he decides, it's no problem if you're Michael. But I didn't finish. But he changed his mind. If he changed his mind, Tochtei Dibur, there's no question. But he changed his mind after Tochtei Dibur when they're still discussing it. Asoka Boise Indian. Do we compare this to a Khalifan? Or do we compare this to other Kinyanim? Now, what?
There's no masking, though.
What?
The Kinyanim was paying.
Excuse me, how are you?
There's no masking.
There's no opinion
or an
object
of any kind?
No, only any opinion, just say words.
We paid him with money, not Chalipin.
What paid him money? Moichel, the other person.
Yeah, but I mean...
Moichel paid him, didn't pay anything. He owes him £1,000, he said, I'm Moichel you, then after Tochtei Dibur, when they're still discussing it, he changed his mind. Now, that's what we're talking about, he didn't pay him anything. Now, what will you compare this to? But you compare this to the case of other Kinyanim or the case of Chalipin? No, Rabbi Say, what do you think? Why? Why not? Because based on the Svara, that what makes something not a spur of moment decision? Because when you hand over the object, you didn't hand over anything. According to that Svara, the Chari should have more time. According to the other Tom, the deal is not finished because he still has to pay you more. There's nothing more to pay over here. So it's dependent on the machlekes, the shach, and the sma. Now, what do we do in such a circumstance if we have a machlekes, shach, and sma? So it depends. First of all, if the fella who was Michael's the muzik with the money is by him, then for sure there's no problem. But the question is, what happens if the fellow you were Michael has the money? So he's a mugzik. Can he say, Kimli like the Sma, even though in this situation, they all argue in the Sma, the Shach, the Ktsois, the Shainim, not like the power of the Shach. But could we be Moitzi Momen against the Sma? So, this is a big chidush. I think the Svarim Paz can like the small book of the Shach. But here, besides the Shach, we have also the Ktsois, and it brings the Shoyim that way. But in Tumim, in Kalali HaPsak, in Simon Chofei, he says that he knows it's very difficult to be Moitzi Momen against the Psak of the Sma. But he says, with somebody who paskins like a Sma against the Shach, when the Shach says to be Moitzi Momen, is a Toya B'dvar Mishneh. Because the Shach is a Basrai. The Shach was later. That's at the Tumim Paskins in Simchofei. So according to his Psak, the din would be that even if the nimchal had the money, but the moichal changed his mind, toch kedibur, after toch kedibur, someone said in you could still collect according to the psak of the tumim. That's a chidush. But this is something to think about. All right, that's a different case. I still have 5 minutes. Okay, so I'll discuss it to you a different case. There was a situation that somebody was working for somebody else, and they, in the middle of the job, he stole. And today, in today's world with the internet, the whole world could see him stealing. There's a picture of him stealing the money, taking out several hundred thousand dollars from a safe, stealing the money. So that's Agav the Chavetz Chaim says, you know, that all inventions were created to teach a person Hashgacha Pratis. So the Rebbeinu Shalom sees you, even a human being can see whatever you do every second. But the question here was, so this fellow, he immediately buried the money. There's no money to collect from him. So the fellow who had the loss, he did something he's not supposed to do either. I mean, he went to the relatives and he said, if you don't pay, I'm going to put the fellow in jail. They have no obligation to pay. It's not, they didn't steal. You can't force, you're not allowed to force them. To force him to pay, he could force, but to go to someone who's innocent, it just happens to be his relative. You're not allowed to force them to pay. But at any rate, that's what he did. Now, they signed a note. He didn't care, his brother didn't care, I mean, he may have cared, but not enough they would have paid $100,000 to get his brother out of jail. But his wife, his sister, of the person, she said, "Well, you can let my brother go to jail." So he was afraid the fellow was going to have bad relations with his wife. So he signed the note that I'm going to pay $100,000. So now afterwards they went to Beis Din. Beis Din in Central America called me about this case, and they asked me that is this a halacha of oynes? Because the halacha is if you force somebody, if you force, then the obligation is not chal. So it's considered an oinus. And they brought up a Ramon, Hilchos Gittin, that not only if I say I'm going to hurt you, if I say I'm going to hurt one of your relatives, it also has a din of oinus. So they asked, is this an oinus, or is a person's commitment, does it abrogate him, or it does not obligate him? So what we said is like this. There are two possible people who are putting pressure on the man who signed it. The first one is the fellow the money was stolen from. But what was his pressure? Either you pay up, or I'm going to put your brother in jail. But that wasn't a really pressure by him, because he didn't care enough. He cared, but not enough to pay $100,000 to keep him out of jail. Then the only pressure was his wife. In this situation, the wife she didn't say, either you pay up or I'm going to divorce you. He was just afraid of bad relations. So if so, there was no actual anus. Because first of all, maybe he's paying that his wife should be happy. If the question would be, even in a situation if the wife would say, either you pay up or I divorce you, then you could declare that maybe he's paying for that, or maybe he's just paying to have good relations. So then that's not an issue. But in our situation where the chash isn't threatened, he's just doing it in order because he's afraid that there may be bad relations, so it doesn't have halacha voinus, and even though the person who threatened him did something which is improper, but as far as the chashim mishpat goes, the chashim mishpat is that the person who signed the note is obligated to pay. I've the time? Go ahead.